Hallelujah. Amen. Well, please be seated. Today, you know, I want to speak about something really that will involve, you know, us giving of ourselves. And so much, you know, in life, you know, in my own person, I think sometimes I can feel a bit timid. You know, you wouldn't believe it. A bit shy, a bit bashful, a bit, you know, held back or reserved. But, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, this our year of Jubilee, 2018, you know, we're going to be speaking about, you know, God is calling us to give of ourselves, to give our lives, amen? To step out of the boat, to step out of our comfort zones, amen? Into the place that God has called us and is calling us onto, to fulfill our dreams, to fulfill our goals, so that God will be glorified in us and through us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, and there are just four simple words that I want to communicate to us this morning, that I believe that God is speaking to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us needs, if we act on these words, starting with four simple letters, that we will fulfill the dream that God has given us. Can you say amen? And my first letter, I'm going to ask for some helpers. So is it all right if I just pick some helpers randomly from the audience this morning? Yes. Why don't we start with our birthday boy, because he's looking at me so intently. Yeah, dude, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. So he's enlisting, yeah. Okay. There we go. So that's our first letter, and it's D. And when everyone say D.
D.
So D is for decide. You know, in 2018, we're going to make a decision. You know, everything starts, you know, with a decision. From this morning, you know, you decided to wake up. Amen. Some of you had to have a little help from your alarm clocks, but we all made that decision. You decided to, when you opened your eyes, to get out of bed, decided to get out, to get dressed, and to come here, and hence you're here today. So our lives are full of decisions. They say that on average, we make probably hundreds of decisions every single day. Consciously and subconsciously, we're constantly deciding to do things or not to do things. So D is for decide. And, you know, I think it was Einstein, you know, when we speak about decision, we have a choice. So you have a choice to get up or not to get up. You have a choice to go or not to go, as it were. And so I think it was Einstein who said that it is madness or insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Yeah? To keep doing the same thing and expect different results. And so we need to decide to do things differently if we want to see different results. Amen? And so, you know, I've made some quality decisions for myself, you know, this year. And I believe that God is challenging us. You know, every time the word comes and challenges our hearts, it's to make a different choice. You know, I think it was Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. And he said to them, choose this day whom you will serve. I think that's Joshua 24. Choose whom you will serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your ancestors, or if you're going to serve the living God. Amen? Or, sorry, if you're going to serve the gods of the Amorites and all of those guys, or if you're going to serve the God of Israel. Moses gave them the same charge as well. He says, I set before you today blessing and cursing, death and life. And then he says, choose life that you may live. And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. But isn't it amazing that God will present you the choice of life and death and still tell them to choose life? Why would he need to tell them? It would be obvious, wouldn't it, to choose life if you've got the choice between death and life. But you know what? Because we live in a fallen world and things are corrupted, you know, the devil, he disguises what is good as bad and what is bad as good. He kind of switches them around, plays that, you know, sleight of hand trick on us and tries to make us make wrong choices in life. And so many times people make wrong choices and they're comfortable doing that because they don't know any better. Someone said, if we knew better, we would do better. And so God says to us to choose life. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so in 2018, we need to make that decision to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then he says, so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that we can prove that out. And so we need to choose to be transformed. So that's our D. And we're going to go on to our second letter now. My second letter. Can I have, who's going to be my second volunteer? Okay, officer. Come on, sir. That's our second letter right there. And it's A. The A stands for accept. Everyone say accept. Accept. And now say accept responsibility. How many agree that each one of us needs to do that this year? We need to accept responsibility. You know, I need to accept responsibility. And it's so funny that, you know, so often in life, we don't like to accept responsibility for things, particularly when things go wrong. When everything goes great, you know, people want to claim the responsibility and say, oh, that was me, that's down to me, it's all good. But when things go wrong, it's like, whoa, everyone's ducking, everyone's hiding. Everyone's saying, wasn't me, you know? Accept responsibility. I say that blame is as old as the Garden of Eden. Yeah, you get that one? Blame is as old as the Garden of Eden. And so in the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam a straight question. Adam, where are you, first of all? And he said, I'm hiding. What? God says, you're hiding. Like, every day I come and walk with you, talk with you, no problem. Today, you're hiding. What's going on? Adam, have you eaten of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? And guess what Adam's response was? The woman. No, no, no. God said, no, no, we're not talking about the woman. Adam, did you do what I told you not to do? Adam's response was, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and then I ate. Whoa. Ducking the blame there. How often do we do that? All the time. It's human nature. See, Adam isn't alone because we're from that line as well. Although we have a new Adam, praise God. Amen. But you know, so that's where the whole blame culture started. And then the woman said, hey, Adam, slow down. The snake. So Adam blames the woman. The woman blamed the snake. The snake, well, there was no one. The snake just accepted blame. And God pronounced a curse on the snake because of that. But we get the idea that blame, you know, we can't live in that blame culture. You know, out there in the world, there's a blaming culture. When things go wrong, you know, we see it played out so often, many times in social services. People are looking for, you know, for heads to roll. In the NHS, in our medical services as well. When things go wrong, you know, people want someone to blame. So there's a blame culture, but we need to have heaven's culture. And heaven's culture is to accept responsibility, that I'm responsible. So we need to accept responsibility for what happens in our life. You know, we need to accept responsibility for our own thoughts. Someone put it this way, that, you know, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head in the sky. Amen, yeah? No one can do that. But you can, you are responsible for stopping them building a nest in your hair, right? If any bird comes and starts trying to build its nest, you're going to brush it off. You're going to brush it off straight away. So you're responsible for that. So we have a responsibility for our own thoughts. We can't stop thoughts when they come, Someone said, you know, if someone comes in and you turn around, you take a look, it's like instinctive. You look because, you know, someone came in. But then you look straight ahead. You refocus. But, oh, and then all of a sudden, there's that temptation, the second look, you know, to have another look again. Oh, the second look. You can't avoid the first one because that's instinctive. But the second one, you're responsible. So we need to accept responsibility for our thoughts, for our actions, and for our behavior as a result. Amen? So our thoughts, our actions, and our behavior are our responsibility in life. Amen. Praise God. Our third one now. My third volunteer. Who's going to be my third volunteer? Yes, sir. Okay. Our third letter is R. R stands for respond. I want to say respond with generosity. And that's for all of us. You know, in life, we have the opportunity to respond. They say it's not what happens to you that matters, but it's how you respond to what happens to you. So not just a reaction, yeah, but it's to respond. How you respond to what happens to you. You see, in life, just remember the story of this dear woman who passed away. One of the things is that, you know, things didn't come easy for her. She had some major challenges in her life. One of the things, when she was 2 years old, two, not five or six or 10 or 12 or a teenager, when she was 2 years old, little baby, you know, her father died. Her own father, so this dear lady, her own father died when she was 2 years old. So she didn't even know, she wasn't even aware of the challenge that she was facing at that point. And so she was raised, you know, by another member of the family. When she was in her middle age or in her late age, her son, who was not two or three or four, a son who was 44 years old, died in a ghastly car accident in Nigeria. So she had some major challenges that she faced. But you know, she came through with dignity and with grace. She was known as a stalwart prayer warrior. That she was, you know, constantly, she was always praying. You know, I remember the testimony of one of her grandchildren, so that he would walk by her room in the morning on his way to school, and sometimes he'd stop and kind of just, he would hear her praying and he would eavesdrop and hear her praying for him in her prayers. And so she was constantly communing with the Lord. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't proud. She loved her children, she loved her grandchildren, and she constantly prayed for them. So how we respond is so key and so important in life, that it's not what life throws at you. They say, when life gives you lemons, what do? You make lemonade. That's it. When the going gets tough, what does the tough do? The tough gets going. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And so it isn't what happens to you in life, but it's how you respond to what happens to you that makes the difference. So I want to challenge and encourage every one of us, you know, to be doers of God's word and not just hearers only. You know, it's so key and it's so important. And so responding with generosity means responding with what we have, you know, and we all have something. Everyone say, I have something. I have something. Everyone has something. Never say you don't have anything to give. You know, as long as you're alive, as there's life and breath in your body, you have something, and you have something to give. And so give of yourself. Give of your time. You know, one of the most precious things that any one of us has is time. But we all have the same 24 hours. Anyone here got 25? We wish we'd had more time. Yeah? No one has 25. We all have the same 24 hours. Everyone has the same 7-day week. We all have exactly the same 365 days in the year. Sometimes we get a leap year. But we all have the same. And so what we do with it is our choice. We have the opportunity to choose how we spend our time. We have the opportunity to choose what we give. We've just learned about God, being the greatest giver, how we give to others as well. God watches us. What do we do with what God gives to us? This woman poured out her life. She poured it into her children. She poured it into her grandchildren. And she was a giver. Our last one here, who's going to be my last volunteer? The prophet himself. This is E. Our last letter is E, and it's expect. Everyone say expect.
Expect.
I'm going to say expect a change.
Expect.
Change. You see, if we're not expecting anything, guess what? We'll get what we expect. We'll get nothing. But if the world says, don't raise their expectations. You know what God says? God says, set the expectations high. Yeah? Set the expectations high. Why? Because God is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. One translation says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even dare to ask or think or imagine. He can do it. So I want to set our expectations high in 2018 because God is about to do a phenomenal thing. God is about to exceed our expectations. And so, but we need to be people who are expectant. Amen? We speak about God being the God of the supernatural, about God, our God being the God of the miraculous. But we need to believe him. We need to take him at his word. We need to believe that what he said he will do, he is able to do. And so when Moses, leading the children of Israel out of the wilderness, going to the promised land, came to the point of the Red Sea, he looked to God and said, God, look, the armies of Pharaoh are hot on our heels. We've got the mountain on either side. We've got the Red Sea in front of us. We're stuck. We're done for. Because the children of Israel were complaining to Moses at that point. And then God said to him, what have you got in your hand? God threw the question back to him. I said, what do you have there? And he said, a rod. And God said to him, stretch out your rod towards the Red Sea. And then the miraculous happens. The seas parted right in front of them. But Moses already had what God had given him. Could it be that we have something in our hand that God has given us that we are undervaluing or not even recognizing that we have that? You see, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, but we need to dare. We need to dare to believe God. We need to dare to take God at his word. We need to know that God will do what he says he will do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I want to encourage us this morning to believe God for everything that he has promised, for everything that he has said in his word. What promises has God given to you for 2018? What has God said to you that he will do for you and in you and through you in 2018? You see, that dear woman's life impacted her community. People came and testified about how she had blessed their lives. Her children testified about how she'd blessed their lives. Her children's children testified about how she blessed their lives. The community testified. What's our testimony going to be? I believe that God wants each one of us to have an awesome testimony in 2018. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. Well, it's true. God is on the move. God does want to do something supernatural in each one of our lives. And I want us to prepare this year for that. We're into the second month now. So this is the first Sunday of the second month of 2018. Amen. And how's it going so far? Is it going good? Amen. Well, it's about to get better. Amen. I said it's about to get better. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God is going to do a new thing. God is going to do great things. God is going to do spectacular, awesome things. But we have to dare to believe Him. We have to dare to believe God. I remember when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked in the middle of the sea. The storms all around. And he had already told, he had told the sailors from the beginning that, look, we shouldn't set out, because he perceived that there was going to be harm to the ship. But they didn't listen to him because he was nobody. But then when they were in the eye of the storm for many days and nights, and the Bible said they'd seen neither sun nor stars nor moon nor anything, because it was just pitch black. Then he stood up and said, look, the angel of the Lord stood on the boat with me this night and has assured me that there'll be no loss of life of any of the passengers on this vessel. And even though the ship was lost in itself, but no life of any one of them was lost, and they were all saved because he dared to believe God. This morning, I want us to dare to believe God for the fulfillment and for the realization of the dreams and goals that he's given to each one of us. That whatever they are, no matter how far-fetched they seem to be to our minds, to our way of thinking, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even dare to think. Amen. Amen. Can I have Kojo on the keyboard, please? I'm going to ask us to stand up together right now. You know, God isn't nervous. Our God is bold. You know, one of the words that God gave to Joshua, and he gave it to him four times in the same chapter of the book of Joshua. Two words, actually, were strength and courage. He said to Joshua, he said, only be strong and very courageous. Because the task ahead of Joshua was a mammoth, gigantic task. He said, only be strong and courageous. Because for what you're going to do, you're going to need strength, you're going to need courage to take this nation of people out from where they are now into the promised land. You know, each one of us needs that. I know that I need that. I need his strength and his courage in my life to fulfill the mandate that he's placed upon my life. Each one of us needs that. And so I want us to speak to the Lord in these few minutes right now to say, Lord, whatever it is that I need, Lord, I need your strength. I need your courage. I need your boldness. I need your confidence to fulfill the call upon my life. And he'll do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Father, Lord, we thank you because you've challenged us to dare to believe you. And so, Father God, today we dare. Lord, we dare to believe you, Father, for everything, Lord, that you have promised to each and every one of us, Lord. Whether it's in the area of family, whether it's in the area of business, whether it's in the area, Lord, of our relationships, Father. Whatever area it is, Lord, in our communities, Father, we choose. We make a conscious, deliberate decision, Father. Lord, we accept the responsibility, Lord, of change, Father, Lord. Heavenly Father, we respond, Father, from our hearts, Father, to your love, Lord. We respond, Lord, with generosity, Father. We respond, Heavenly Father, to everything you're calling us to do, Father. And we expect, Lord, we expect, Father, your mighty hand to come through on our behalf. Father, today we give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said, Hallelujah. Give God praise.